Hi everyone, my name is Anna and I'm a grateful recovering marijuana addict. Today I'm just going to share with you guys kind of about my journey and how I made it to this wonderful program that has saved my life. So I'm just going to kick it off from the beginning. Starting pretty early on, actually, when I was a kid. And I know that sounds funny talking about, oh, you know, my addiction started when I was a kid. I didn't start smoking weed when I was a child, but there were definitely issues that come up later in my addiction, so I'm going to start there. So when I was a kid, I had a lot of anxiety about everything, but mostly sleeping. Sleeping at night was like a big obsession with me because, I mean, as a lot of people know, when you don't sleep well, just don't feel good. And when I was a kid, I just couldn't sleep. I couldn't sleep by myself. It was like a big thing in my life, and I obsessed about it. I obsessed about it a lot. That was like, I think, the first time in my life when I could definitely see like anxiety. Obviously, I didn't know what it was because I was little, but it was anxiety, and my OCD was starting to come out. I would have these crazy obsessions about having to sleep at night when other people just like didn't care about that, and I did. I had fun little rituals that I would do to try to get myself to have a good night's sleep, and I do them over and over again, and sometimes they worked and sometimes they didn't. So that was like my first instant that I can really remember that anxiety started to be a big part of my childhood. And that anxiety just kind of grew. I tried to do things that would help me. I remember going to a therapist when I was young to try to get me to sleep, and felt like no matter what I did, no matter how much I wanted to feel better, I couldn't. And the more and more time that went on, the more it felt like it was unmanageable, and I just had to live with it. I had a really rough time in high school, very, you know, angsty teen, depressed, anxious, and I remember specifically asking my mom one day, what do? I don't know what to do anymore. I can't keep living like this. I'm so miserable, and she said that I need to find a higher power. I need to work the 12 steps. And at that point, of course, I was like, I don't, you know, I hadn't even smoked for the first time or drank for the first time at that point. And I was like, okay, well, thanks, Mom. I don't really know how that helps me. But I kind of kept that in the back of my head. Both my parents work a program. So I kept that in the back of my head. And when I first started drinking when I was 14, I didn't like it too much. Sure, it numbed me, but, you know, all sorts of crazy things that came along with drinking, like hangovers and making really bad decisions. That's something that I found differed with between pot and alcohol was when I was drinking, I was making really shitty decisions. And when I was smoking, I was making not good decisions, but they were a little better than when I was drinking. I smoked for the first time when I was 15, so I was a sophomore in high school. I started to hang out with this crowd that just, you know, it was, what are we going to do today? Obviously, we were going to get high, but what else? So it wasn't even a choice of, oh, are we going to get high today? It was, yeah, we're going to get high today. What else are we going to do today? I got a boyfriend that was not only a dealer, but he smoked a lot, so I smoked a lot with him, and kept going down that path. It was kind of like I had found the thing that I was looking for all my life. It numbed the anxiety. My brain finally stopped. It quieted down. It shut off. I could laugh for the first time without having to think about what was going to happen next, and that felt good to me, and my addiction started slow, like most addictions do. It didn't, you know, I didn't hit rock bottom right away. So it felt good. It felt nice. It felt like I could do this forever. And I tried to. I started smoking a lot during COVID when I was a senior in high school. It's when COVID hit in 2020. And suddenly I didn't have my senior year. I didn't get to do all the things that the seniors did. And I was feeling quite resentful. So I smoked, because if I wasn't going to have my normal senior year, then I might as well smoke away the pain and just try to live life as normally as we could at that point. I was the first one to get COVID, like, in my town that we knew of, and it was great. I loved having COVID then because I didn't have it. I was asymptomatic, and I could just smoke the entire time when I was in isolation. I was literally in my room for 14 days, and I had my boyfriend bring me, like, you know, a puzzle, and there was weed in there, and I would smoke in my room, in my parents' house, and they had no clue. Soon after that, I went to my first year of college. I went somewhere in state, and all I did was smoke. I wasn't in my parents' house anymore. I was living in a dorm room, and my roommate was never there. So I just smoked. You know, this was the time of COVID. People didn't leave. There were no socializations. It was still very shut down, and I was severely depressed. I was smoking in my dorm room constantly, and I remember I had an Apple Watch, and I would check how many steps I got, and I was averaging about 200 steps a day. It was mostly just to go get food from my little kitchenette and go lay back in bed. All my classes were online, so I didn't have anywhere to go. And then I got a job working with kids, and then I started to get these weird symptoms. I was still smoking all day, every day, but suddenly I would get nauseous, like clockwork. At 6 p.m., I'd get home from work, and I'd have to pull over on the side of the road coming home because I'd get so nauseous, and I'd be, you know, dry heaving, and I never had an appetite, and if I did, I could eat very little, and the only way for it to go away was to smoke more. It was a vicious, vicious cycle. And at that point, I really did only found friends in college that had the same interests as me, which was smoking weed and drinking and sitting on a couch. That's what we did. And I didn't have a normal freshman year of college. I mean, maybe in the terms of, you know, drinking and smoking, but not in the sense of going out and doing that stuff. It was sitting inside and doing that. And then at the end of my first year of college, I went locally in the Midwest, and I had an opportunity to move out of state, and I took it. I transferred to a different college. I moved with the boyfriend I had at the time, different boyfriend from the one in high school, I might add, and I moved to Arizona, and I started going to college here, and I started to smoke even more because my boyfriend at the time was older than me. He could go to the dispensaries, and he could buy stuff for me that I never had access to, where before that I was having to meet up with dealers, and I didn't like doing that. But at this point, you know, my boyfriend, he's over 21, he could go get that stuff for me. It was easy peasy. So I started smoking more. It didn't help that both him and the guy that we lived with were raging potheads as well. I loved it at the time, but looking back, it wasn't the great best thing for me. Then I started getting more and more sick, more nausea, more throwing up, more reflux, and then I started to lose weight pretty rapidly. And the smoking didn't help the nausea anymore. It made it worse. I didn't really put it two and two together at the time. My mom kind of did and would, you know, send me little articles, like hints, hinting at that I had cannabis hyperemesis syndrome. I didn't believe it. I was like, no, come on. The pot's helping me. So I just kept doing what I was doing. I kept smoking pot. I was going to in-person classes at this point, but I hardly went. And I know my parents are on this call this evening, so I apologize for what you're about to hear, but I hardly went to class. I laid in bed and smoked as much as I possibly could. If it wasn't mandatory to be in a class, I wasn't going. Especially because I lived 30 minutes away from campus. I was living with my boyfriend. I wasn't going to go. I would rather sit in bed and smoke weed. I also had a job that I currently have. It's the most amazing job I've ever had. And I would quite literally call in from work, not go, leave a person without care because I'm a caretaker, just so I could sit in my bed and smoke weed. Didn't do my homework. I don't know how I kept up my grades. I think I just did the bare minimum to get by. And yeah, I even got an endoscopy with a gastroenterologist to try to find out what was wrong with me, but I was doing it to myself. It was VHS all along, and I didn't want to admit it. And then, this, it was 2.5 years ago, I went home for Christmas, and it was weird. I had texted a friend to make sure that I had weed waiting for me when I got home so that I wouldn't even go a night without it. Because at that point I was too scared and paranoid to fly with it, even though I have in the past. So I had it. It was there, and the night after I got there, I believe it was so weird. All of a sudden, like something came over me, and it was like, "You're gonna quit right now, today." And it was very weird. I remember talking to my mom. I think I was like sitting on the counter in my bathroom, and I was just like, "I don't think I can do this anymore. I'm so sick all the time. I'm so sick and tired of being sick and tired." And we made a plan to quit, and my mom said, "Well, just quit for 10 days, and if you feel better, then we know it's VHS, and we can go from there." And I was like, yeah, that sounds like a good plan. So that night, I threw what I had with me on that trip away and texted my boyfriend who lived back where I was going to college to please go through my room and get rid of everything. And that was that. I did not know that I would not pick up again. I hadn't made that decision yet. I didn't want to make that decision yet. When I first started, I was like, how am I never, ever going to smoke weed again? How am I never going to do this again? I can't do that. And my parents were like, you don't have to. You just need to take it one day at a time. And that helped me so much. And when one day at a time was too much, I took it 5 minutes at a time. I remember literally setting timers on my phone for 10 minutes and being like, I just need to get through the next 10 minutes and then I'll restart the timer if I feel like it. Just the next 10 minutes. Just the next 10 minutes. So I did about 7 days that way. And then I can't remember exactly how it happened, but my mom was like, why don't you see if there's like a 12 step for marijuana? And I was like, surely there's not. Because like all my life, I'd been hearing about how marijuana wasn't addictive. But there was. I Googled it and Marijuana Anonymous came up. I went to the first meeting I could get to the next day. It was like 6 a.m. It was so early, but I was trying to go before some activity. I don't remember what it was. 6 a.m. and I just cried the entire meeting. Just sat there with my camera off, just cried the entire meeting. And I actually shared. I can't believe I shared on my first meeting with 7 days clean. But I did, and I just like poured my soul out to these people that I didn't even know. But they all messaged me and were like, we understand what you're going through. We know what this is like. We've all been in this position before, and it made me feel so at peace. It was like, you know, when I was talking about how I had found what I was looking for all my life, which was weed, it was like a full sense of reality. But this was the real thing. Being in that group was the real thing for me. And having these people around me who didn't know me, they were complete strangers, and they just comforted me with love and affirmations and kept telling me that I could do it. It was the best thing I think I've ever experienced. And then I went another week and I didn't go on any meetings that week because I was actually on a trip with my family. Of course, you know, when you're 2 weeks sober, going on a trip with your family can be, it was hard. But it was nice. It was nice to kind of get out of my head a little bit. I remember we were staying at an Airbnb in LA, and there was like a little package of weed from the dispo on like the coffee table when we got there. And I was like, oh my God, like God is punishing me, and why can't this be easy? Why can't, you know? I just thought when I quit that like things would start getting easier, but I had learned that it wasn't going to get easier unless I worked for it. And so I did. And I found a sponsor when I was 30 days clean. I became a service really, really quick on in my program. I took up like 3 service positions when I was 60 days clean, and I held those positions for a long time. I think it was like 3 different meetings. It just kept me coming back to the program, coming back to meetings, doing service in any way that I could. It held me responsible, because if I wasn't showing up, then I might be impacting somebody else's recovery, and that was the last thing I wanted to do. So I showed up, and I stayed clean. And it's been 2.5 years now, and I'm sober now from all mind and mood-altering chemicals, including nicotine and alcohol. I quit vaping about 6 months ago. That was very difficult, but because of the program, I knew I could do it. If I quit smoking weed and drinking alcohol, I could do this. And with the support of everybody, my family's program, I'm completely sober now. I was sober on my 21st birthday last year. I'm studying counseling in college now. I'm applying to master's programs. It has not been easy, but it's been so worth it. And I've learned how to cope with my anxiety, OCD, and depression without smoking weed. And I think that's been the biggest thing for me. It even has made me want to help people. Through my addiction, it taught me that I love being of service to others. How I stay clean is helping other people. And I'm not exactly sure how that works. Maybe it makes me feel good. Maybe I see myself and other people, but it works. And the program keeps working if you work for it. I'm now a sponsor. I have 2 sponsees. And I'm just, like, so proud of this program, so proud of these people, especially the people that keep coming back. If I could give any advice, it'd be to just keep coming back. And things get easier. They really, really do. I love topic meetings and things like that, because it helps you learn how to deal with issues that aren't doing drugs, drinking, gambling, shopping, vaping, all that. I get to learn from like all these super smart people that there are things you can do. I got this like awesome connection with the higher power now, who I believe there's like a plan for me, and I don't have to just do things blindly. I'm not alone, and I know that now. I'm not alone because I get to go to a meeting and I get to tell people my problems, and these people listen. It's awesome. But yeah, over the past 2.5 years, I really have come to this like spiritual awakening almost, where before it was really hard to believe in a higher power. It was hard to believe in somebody bigger than me, because how could somebody other than myself help me? You know, it was me and my brain, and that was it. But I know that's not true anymore. I know that there's people in the program, there's my higher power, there's my family, there's my sponsor, they're my fellows. It's a group effort. It really is. You know how they always say it takes a village to raise a kid? Well, it takes a village to stay sober. And I truly, truly believe that. Got to keep coming back. Keep coming back, working the program, doing the steps. I have finished the steps. They weren't easy, especially, you know, step 4, step 8, but it's given me so much peace knowing that I'm a better person, a way better person than I was 2.5 years ago, and I actively do things to be a better person and to be kind to others and be honest and be, you know, clear my side of the street. It's just, it's huge, especially with the career that I want to go into, which is counseling. I can't tell future clients to get sober if I'm not sober. I can't tell them to be honest if I'm not honest. And I can't tell them to be kind if I'm not kind. So I'm living like that. And my biggest role models are my parents. I'm so lucky to say that I have two sober parents who know the struggles of addiction and have come out the other side. Both my parents have 30 plus years, and it's just amazing seeing them. I seriously couldn't have better parents and better grandparents. It's a big, happy, sober family, and whenever I tell people that, it's just, I'm so proud to say it. I don't think I have anything else to share, really. So, with that, I'll pass it on.